Do you want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business, the infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order? Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit, give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
Salutations. What it is.
God damn. Here we are again. Welcome everybody to the latest episode of Highway to Helms with your host. Am I a host? I don't host nobody. It's just me and you guys. But it's Shane Hurricane Helms. And yes, guess who's back? Back again. Shaney's back. Tell your mama. So listen, I know it's been a while. And it's all my fault. But I feel like I got some good reasons. So, it has been a while. This is episode 70. If I would have stopped at episode 69, that almost would have been apropos because of reasons. But I don't know. Let me go ahead and just break it on down. As you guys all know by now, I have returned to the WWE universe. Back in my job as a producer there. And that is a full-time job. I don't have the time that I had when I was furloughed to just pump these episodes out all the time. And so I'm not sure what that means going forward. Honestly, I don't know. It's going to be up in the air. If I can have the time, then maybe. But, you know, before I know, I was still doing Highway to Helms when I was with WWE at the beginning of the year and then at the beginning of 2020 and also in 2019. But I was mainly just doing Raw and the pay-per-view. So, but now I do both Raw, SmackDown, and the pay-per-view. So there's just not a lot of time to devote, you know. And if I have to choose, I'm going to have to choose the job. That's just how it is. They pay me. And, you know, I owe it to them to give them my best effort and not to split the energy, the limited energy that I have. But if I can somehow make it work, or else my sponsors are just going to bail on me. They have been absolutely glorious in letting me, have a little a little time out. But I'm going to play it by ear. If I can make it work, I'll make it work. If I can't, I thank you guys all for tuning with me and tuning in and staying with me all for all these weeks that you have and all these episodes. But anyway, I'm going to try to knock this one out and I had an idea where I would write a bunch of stuff down that we've missed over the past couple months. And then I just said, to hell with that. I'm just going to wing it because that's what I do. Why change now? Why change now? So what has been going on? Well, I'm going to tell you what happened with me. See, here's what happened. I can't remember it at anything I talked about on episode 69. So I do know, I did the Talking Shop-a-Mania pay-per-view. Which, if you haven't seen that, is absolutely insane. The debut of the wrestling detective, Gregory Helms. I had such a blast doing that. Big shout out to Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, Rocky Romero, the whole crew. Scott D'Amore, Tommy Dreamer. I mean, just everybody there. You know, I just had a blast hanging out with. And if you haven't seen it, quite possibly my favorite t-shirt of all time, the Wrestling Detective t-shirt, which you can find on prowrestlingtees.com/Shane Helms. Just throw that in there. And that is actually my real cat, Mr. Woods. His name is Woody. We call him Mr. Woods on the shirt with me. And that's a big hit in my family, the fact that we got our cat on the shirt. So that was a blast. Of course, you know, so what a weird month. In about the same month, I appeared on AEW, the Talking Shop of Mania, which has its Impact affiliations, and then I returned to WWE. So that was a pretty great way for me to end what was a rotten year for a lot of people, myself included. As you guys know, I did get furloughed on April the 15th, tax day of 2020. So, you know, had a little vacation there, but I stayed busy, stayed working, doing different things. I also got to give a shout out to HighSpots.com. I did a, what do you call it, a virtual signing with them, and that was fabulous. That went super well. So, shout out to those guys. What a top-notch facility and operation that HighSpots.com has. And they have had for years. Now, I've known that guy forever, and he told a great story. Like, one of his first vendor tables was at an Omega show because I gave him permission to do it, or I spoke up for him to do it. Like, and that's kind of one of how he got all started. I had no idea I had that much of an impact on that. And that's why he's always, you know, took care of me. And it was just cool to hear that because, you know, I'll do stuff like that to help people out. And, you know, half the time, I don't generally expect anything in return, because most of the time in this business, you don't get anything in return. You know, it's like I don't necessarily believe in karma, but I hope that it's real. You know, the hope keeps me going. And I just actually enjoy helping people and doing things. So I helped him out. And God, that had to be in the mid to late 90s when we were doing those shows. So, and then, of course, what he has built with HighSpots and the Russell Khan show every year. I mean, that's been absolutely amazing. So a shout out to them. But yeah, so how are things back at WWE? Is great. I mean, I love the job, love the gig. So everything's going great so far. But if I do the show going forward, just like before, there ain't going to be no backstage secrets. That's not what I'm about. You know, I'm not a spill the beans type guy. I'm not going to betray my peers by, you know, telling secrets that weren't meant to be revealed. That's not what I do. I'm not going to be a what they call dirt sheets or whatever. And some of the dirt sheets aren't dirt sheets. They're just sites that report news. But either way, that's not what I do and not what I'm going to do. So no disrespect, just not what I'm going to do. But I'll tell you what I'm going to talk about right now. This motherfucking Conor McGregor. He cost me a little bit of cheddar, y'all. Cost me a little bit. I won pretty big off of Michael Chandler having the best UFC debut of all time. You know, I mean, I get, you know, there's a guy named, his name was Ryan Jimmo, I think, J-I-M-M-O. If you guys could watch his debut, Google his debut. He's deceased at this point. I forget how he died. I feel like it was a car accident or something. But his debut in UFC was fantastic because he just knocked the guy out with like either the first or second punch. And then he went and did the robot and did this crazy split. His debut was up until now was my favorite debut of all time. But the reason I got to give the nod to Chandler is because Chandler took on top-notch competition. Because Dan Hooker was a beast. He was a beast. But he got slayed. And Michael Chandler. And then Michael Chandler channeled the Ric Flair promo after Flair won the Royal Rumble, too, with a tear in my eye. He didn't quite say that, but he did channel Flair's promo there a little bit. And that was pretty entertaining. So, but as for Conor, man, to me, it just looked like he did not want to be in there. That's what it looked like to me. And I had my doubts about picking him. Now, I picked him because I still think he's the better fighter. I do believe that. And I know people were saying how much Dustin Poirier had improved since the first time him and Conor fight, when Conor knocked him out in the first round. And he has improved a lot. But Conor won 2 world championships in that time as well. It's not like he hasn't improved. Conor's the better fighter, but he's not hungry anymore. You know, I saw him. He had his family with him. He just wasn't talking that normal smack. He was just too nice. And, like, now, my bets are in at this point. I can't, like, you know, undo them. But, man, like, just watching him fight, I was like, man, he doesn't seem hungry. And you got to be hungry. That, you know, fighting isn't something you can coast in and not perform against animals. You might go in there and have a decent fight against somebody else that is coasting, but you're going in there with Dustin Poirier and you coasting, you're gonna have a long night or a short night, you know. But you're going to lose. And that's what happened. I'm going to tell you what's weird, too. After the fight, it's like he had a promo ready. You know, normally you get knocked out, your first knockout, that breaks people. Like, nobody, no real fighters, no real competitors like to lose. That whole good sportsmanship, you know, you do that in public, you know, but like on the inside, it hurts. You know, it hurts to lose, you know. But he just sitting there talking about it like it wasn't a big deal. Like, he was ready to lose. He was prepared to lose. And that sucked, man. That sucked for him. But, you know, if he can get back to where he was, that's great. Would love to see it. If he can't, then, you know, maybe he needs to. I mean, he's a successful businessman as well. So there's other things on his plate that he can be involved with. He's a good promoter, good talker. He's a smart guy. But if you ain't got that killer instinct, like I said, you know, that octagon might not be the place for you. So what else has been going on? Tom Brady being amazing. If you don't like Tom Brady at this point, now you're just a hater. That's just how it is. This dude just picked a team at random. He just put all the NFL teams' names in a hat, drew one out, said Tampa Bay, I'll go there. And now they're in the Super Bowl. That is ridiculous. And people can say, is this play, is that play, is what, is what. Dude, throughout a whole season, then through the playoffs, then to the NFC Championship game, everybody's always got their reasons why. You know, this, the Rams, man, come on now. Come on now. That you can say that one game here and there. My man's got 6 rings, and now he's going to another Super Bowl. That's just incredible. Now, I don't know if he's going to win this Super Bowl. It will be such an amazing story if he does. But they definitely can win. Tampa Bay has the tools to win this game. It's going to be close. I really can't pick it. It could go either way. Patrick Mahomes is a stud. Kansas City's playing, you know, they're ballers. You know, they are ballers. So especially taking out Buffalo the way they did. That was pretty damn impressive, too. So, you know, I'm kind of leaning toward the Chiefs, but I'm pulling for Brady. You know, he's my favorite quarterback of all time. It's just how it is. I'm pulling for him. But I ain't going to put no money on this one, y'all. I'm going to sit this one out and enjoy it. That's what I'm going to do. So, yeah. Yeah. So that's it in the sports section. That's what we got for the sports section of the Highway to Helms. I want to talk about a couple of TV shows. Well, I mean, a TV show and a movie. I did see Wonder Woman. It's not as good as the first, but it's not bad. I feel like it received a lot of hate. It's problematic in parts. You know, I want to see Wonder Woman. I don't give a shit about her being in love with Steve Rogers. Not Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers is Captain America. If she was in love with Captain America, that I would understand. But Captain America has America's ass. We all know that. But, you know, Steve Trevor, I'm like, man. That was a bit lame to me. And then, like, his ghost inhabits some other dude's body. Like, and Wonder Woman has sex with him. Like, that's a little creepy, right? Am I wrong? I don't know. You know, I don't want to speak, but I feel like if you the guy that got possessed, like, I mean, he might not have complained. I don't know. But that was a little strange, you know, it's a little strange on Wonder Woman's part to take advantage of this dude's body. I'm just saying. I feel like if the roles were reversed, there would be some flack going on. But I don't know. I did enjoy the movie. I like the action scenes. Using the lasso like it's kind of Spider-Man's web is pretty cool. Using the lasso like that was what was propelling her to fly at one point. I thought that was pretty cool. I wasn't crazy about Cheetah, but I've never liked Cheetah. But they did her good in the movie. Way better than in the books, because I just always felt like she was a weak, because Wonder Woman is like Superman level to me. And she should be, you know, she's just powerful character. And then you got like the Cheetah, you know, like, With all due respect to Lion-O, I don't feel like Lion-O can fight Superman. You know, I just don't. All due respect to the Thundercats and Shelton Benjamin, I know you're a Thundercat aficionado and super fan. But Superman whoops Lion-O's ass with ease. That's just how it goes down. Just how it is. But anyway, I did enjoy the movie. I do want to say that. So, also in the superhero world, WandaVision is banging. I know the first two episodes were a little slow, and people, I think people that really don't understand how powerful and whacked out the Scarlet Witch is, I think the show might be going a little slow for them. But for those of us that know the history of the character and the history of her relationship with the Vision, we're digging it. We're digging it. I'm on episode 3, probably going to watch episode 4 when I'm done with this. But I'm loving it. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. That's on, what is that, on the Disney Plus app, I'm sure. So check it out, WandaVision. Absolutely. To me, in my opinion, in my professional opinion, because I am a person who is a professional and I have opinions. I'm digging it. But the show I want to talk about the most, I'm not going to talk about it the most, but the one that had the most impact on me recently is The Flight Attendant. Now, this is on HBO Max, and it's starring my girl Penny from The Big Bang Theory, who is also the star of Harley Quinn, the animated series, which I got Billy Kidman into, because I just been spouting how good that Harley Quinn animated series is. That shit was awesome. So anyway, I'm going to check out this Flight Attendant because I heard people say it was good, but I didn't know anything about it, you know, and I just looked at the cast. And for whatever reason, I just thought it was going to be like a comedy, you know, just going to be something lighthearted like you would see on, I don't know, ABC Family Night, NBC Family Night. I don't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting anything heavy. I was wrong because it came in hard, y'all. That shit came in hard. Boy, the first episode, I was hooked. And I was like, damn, this shit got dark quick. And it's good, though, man. It's good. It's really, it's well-written. And Kelly Cuoco is a fantastic actress, you know. And, you know, in Big Bang, she was that character, but that character was kind of limited, I feel, you know. You see a whole new range with her in this. And, man, it's super well done. Rosie Perez is in it as well. She's excellent. The main antagonist in it, I can't recall her name off the top of my head, but she's fantastic as well. It's a really good show. So that's HBO Max. I got HBO Max somehow free because of one of the other services I have. So if you got it, check it out. It's well worth it. I feel like there was something else I watched on HBO Max too, and I can't remember what it is right now. But if I do a show next week, we'll talk about that one. If I can't remember. So that's it for this portion, and we'll be back with the Comic Slam. This episode of Highway to Helms is sponsored by Blue Chew. And you know what that Blue Chew do. Brown chicken, brown cow. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra boost in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active is the key word, ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises, whenever the window opens, whenever the wind blows, whatever. If you can benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Then performance enhancers, y'all. So if you need help going one round, Blue Chew got you. But if you don't need help and you want to go a couple extra rounds, Blue Chew got you as well. Check it out. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to a doctor's office. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, no waiting in that long-ass line at CVS, Walgreens, none of that shit. It ships right to your door in a nice, discreet package. Don't nobody need to know your business but you. So, guys, hey, the women will enjoy it, too. Check it out. It's BlueChew.com. promo code Helms. Promo code Helms, capital H-E-L-M-S. Check it out. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code Helms. Do it for you. And now it's time for the Comedy Slam.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
Now, I know it's been a minute, so I'm going to jump around a lot on this one. But there's some books I want to talk about. Of course, that's what I do on the Comic Slam. I had a chance in Florida to visit a comic shop called Emerald City. And that is in Clearwater, Florida. Not that dirty water. Don't go to that dirty ass water. You don't want to go there. Clearwater, Florida. Picked up some books. That's a fantastic shop. It's amazing. I was just walking around like a little kid in there. But the first book I want to talk about I picked up. This is, who's this from? Image Comics. It's called Reckless. By Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. This right here could be a TV series. And also it was signed by those two and for no extra money. It was just on the shelf. It was signed by them and extra money. So I got an autograph from Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips. And they don't even know it. Maybe one day I can get them to personalize it. Like a nerd. But I'm a comic fan, so that's what I do. But this is good. I love this because I always had this idea of a character back in the day, and I wanted to call him the Observer. And he was going to have a moving, like a RV, but it's going to be a souped up RV. And he was going to call that the Observatory. And so anyway, and my idea for him would be that he would just handle like, not like these major world problems, just little problems that, you know, affected, you know, a couple people and go and solve problems and just deal with the assholes of the world. You know, that was my idea for that character. Of course, I never did shit with him, but very similar concept with this book. This guy, he like used to be in the FBI. Now he's not because he went undercover and some kind of mission got all messed up. And so now he has this business where you call this 800 number. You know, you tell him the situation if you're in trouble, and he'll help handle things that the police can't handle, that the police won't do because he can break the rules. But man, this is like, this could be a TV show. This could easily be a miniseries of some sort on Netflix or whatever. And it's really good. I enjoyed this immensely. So shout out to, like I said, Ed Brubaker was the writer, Sean Phillips was the artist, and I think they're the creators as well. So, yeah. Anyway, very good book, and I enjoyed that. So, boom, there's that one. And I actually got this one in my hand, not digital. This is in hand. Another book I want to talk about is The Eternals. Now, you may or may not know, this is from Marvel Comics, issue number one. This is going to be a movie, I believe, for Marvel coming out, but I'm not sure exactly when because, of course, everything, because of the fucking COVID, everything got pushed back. So I don't know if it's coming out this year or next year, but the Eternals were this group of, they're kind of like the Greek gods, Roman gods, or whatever. This is a version of them to a degree. Marvel's version of them. And so, and this is an interesting take on the book without giving away too much because it's kind of difficult to explain without reading. I should give away the writer and artist, though, so we can know that. The writer is Kieron Gillen, and the artist is Isad Rabak. That sounds like a killer. But anyway, the art is really neat. You know, it's weird because there are times when I really like the art in this book and then times when I don't. It's inconsistent in the way they draw some of the characters, but it's unique at the same time. So this might be one of those people that just reminds me of a Tom Rainey that you just had to kind of get a feel for him at times. And there was another guy, Angel Medina. Like, I loved Angel Medina's work, but it's so unique and it worked for so many different characters. And then I felt like some characters it didn't, but I always loved his work anyway. Very reminiscent of that. So that's high praise. Although I don't think I worded it like it was high praise. I meant it that way. So check that out too. The Eternals, number one, Marvel Comics. Let me put these books over here. Another couple books I want to talk about because I bought a couple issues of these so I could catch up was Rorschach. And this is by Who is this by? Is this by my man? This is by my man, Tom King. The interior cover artist is Jorge Fornes. So, yeah, very cool. This goes in, obviously, Rorschach from the Watchmen universe, which people that know me know I am a Watchmen buff and love and will read anything that has to do about the Watchmen. And this is really good, really damn good. There's a mystery involved in it. You're not sure exactly when it's set. You're not sure is this set in the... Not sure. You're not sure when it's set. You're not sure where it's set. Is this the actual Watchmen universe? Is this the retcon of the Watchmen universe? Who knows? Who knows? But it's really good. Tom King, for me, is just hitting on all cylinders with everything he does. So I don't want to kiss his ass too much. But the kid's good, man. The kid's good. I actually picked up issues 1 and 2 of Rorschach. And we'll continue to buy that series because it's good. And I love the characters. And if Tom King messes him up, I might have to strangle him. Although I think he used to work in the CIA, so maybe I can't strangle him because he's got these super secret agent skills. And this might all end up bad for me. I don't know. But moving on. Also, I want to talk about from DC Comics as well. Rorschach was from DC, the Black Label imprint. So this is Endless Winter. Okay, you with me on this? And this is by writers Andy Lanning and my former teacher, Ron Mars. Artist is Howard Porter. So some big heavy hitters on this. I got issues 1 and 2 of this, I believe. Yeah, just 1 and 2. And this was a really good story, man. Kind of delves back into the, you know, ancient past of Marvel. Back in the day, like early versions of Black Adam, Swamp Thing, all this type of stuff. You got your whole cast of characters, the Justice League trying to save the world. I mean, the art's great. The writing's great. This right here is just right up my alley. They did beat Catman's ass pretty easily, and I thought that was pretty funny. I thought Catman was having a good push there for a while with Suicide Squad, but he got jobbed out pretty heavy in this one. Poor Catman. Catman do. Catman don't, apparently, in this. But this was real good. You know, I mean, I enjoyed this. And I don't know if it tied into a bunch of other books. I feel like it did, like it was this big crossover. But this is good. I love seeing Black Adam, of course. You guys that know me and follow me religiously, don't pray to me, know that Black Adam's one of my favorite characters of all the times. So to see him in a book going toe-to-toe with Superman, I really dug that. I feel like he shot lightning out of his eyes in this one, and I don't know if I've seen that. That might be something new. I didn't know him could do that. But he did, and that was pretty cool. Moving on, another number one. This is from Marvel Comics, and I bought this because of issue number 2. I bought the first 2 issues of this. Now, Taskmaster is... he's a cool character in Marvel. He wasn't one I think I would ever buy a book for, but I'm glad I did because this turned out to be really good. Let me find who the writer is. But I'm going to tell you, I bought it because of the cover of issue 2. The cover of issue 2 features Taskmaster getting his ass choked to death by Hyperion. Now, Hyperion is of the Squadron Supreme, which is my favorite team of all time. I love Hyperion. He's one of my favorite characters. As well, I mean, he's right behind Black Adam. That's where he's at. So, this book was by Jed McKay was the writer, and Alejandro Vita was the artist. Really glad I picked this book up. Fantastic. The Taskmaster is a cool character. You know, he's got a lot going on in this book. He's being framed. Somebody's after his ass. And now he's got to work for Nick Fury. Anytime Nick Fury's involved, you know, there's some shenanigans involved, and that leads to what happens in issue number 2, where he has to go toe to toe with Hyperion. Now, I was like, if he somehow beats Hyperion, I'm gonna tear this book into pieces. Now, they found a way for him to survive Hyperion and kind of get away from him without necessarily defeating him, although I guess he did defeat him, but because Hyperion is he's a Superman homage or knockoff, whatever you want to call it, archetype, and he has a similar weakness Like Superman has the kryptonite, Hyperion has one, the Argonite. It's called Argonite, whatever the hell that is. And Taskmaster found some and was able to weaken Hyperion, and that's how he got him. You know, he didn't beat him at full strength. If he would have somehow beat Hyperion at full strength, that would have been mad. But they found a very cool way, and they really put over Hyperion huge in this book. They put him over huge before Taskmaster got the win, and that's what you do. Put him over huge. So I enjoyed it. The cover is just incredible. Loved that book, and I'm going to continue reading it. I just need more Hyperion. Marvel Comics, I just need you guys to listen to me. I'm sending this out to the universe. I don't know if that stuff, you know, just saying it out loud can make it happen, but sometimes it does. I just need more Hyperion. I need more Squadron Supreme. They're such cool characters, and who gives a shit that they're an homage to the Justice League? Or even if they are a knockoff, make them your own. Make them special. I love them. Love them. So real quick, too, because I don't want to get too long on this because I just don't have the time. Some real cool books I read recently. Let me see. Thor, of course, continues to be incredible. Donny Cates is doing a great job with Thor. Now, somehow the hammer is getting heavier for Thor to pick up. So is he becoming unworthy? Something like that. But then like a regular person picked up the hammer and became Thor. So there's a lot of chaos going on in that, but very good. Still a really good book. A lot of cool appearances. Beta Ray Bill showing up. Beta Ray Bill without that helmet on, the ugly ass character, but that's just how it is. Moving on real quick. X-Men number 12 by Jonathan Hickman. And Lynn Francis Wu. I think I'm pronouncing that right. It's Y-U. I don't really know. The cover of this book is just incredible. They got this creepy ass character called the Summoner, who is just really cool looking. Evil looking and all this type of stuff. And Hickman, what he's done with the history of the X-Men is really fantastic. Like the X-Men used to be like the X-Men first came out with Professor X. They were like the first mutants. And then like at some point it was, you know, announced that Namor, the Submariner, was actually the first mutant. And then later on it got to be that Apocalypse was the first mutant. Well, now you just got this big history, this long history that goes way back, I don't know, 1,000 years ago to when the first mutants appeared on Earth. And they're kind of diving into some of that. And it's pretty damn cool. So shout out to that. Check that out if you get a chance. Justice League Dark continues to be cool as hell. I love that team. Right now, it's actually, for me, a little bit better than the actual Justice League team. So I'm checking that out. Action Comics issue 1025 is what they're on. This is still finishing up the House of Kent storyline. Brian Michael Bendis, the writer, John Romita Jr., penciler, they're just killing this book. It's absolutely cool. It's just some cool shit. So check that out. Daredevil, Chip Zdarsky is the writer on that. Who is the penciler? I don't even know. What's his name? Francesco Mobila. This book continues to be great. You know, Daredevil had to turn himself in for some kind of crime. But because of some loophole in the law, he doesn't have to take off his mask. So, you know, his identity is safe at the moment until it's time for trial. I don't know. But that book is just absolutely incredible as well. So check it out. The Immortal She-Hulk number one came out. That's by Al Ewing and John Davis Hunt. Really cool. I love She-Hulk, and this was a good first issue, and I'll be on for more. Another first issue, Fabian Nicieza and Ron Garney bring to you The Juggernaut, number one. Now, I haven't seen or heard anything from The Juggernaut in a long time, so this is pretty cool. Ron Garney is a fantastic artist for this character. So The Juggernaut works for this group called Damage Control, which Damage Control is like whenever there's a superhero battle, you know, they always knock down buildings and all kinds of shit. Well, who pays for that? Who fixes that? That's where Damage Control comes in. So Juggernaut works for them now. I'm not sure why. I think his powers have changed somewhat. He doesn't necessarily get them from the gym anymore because he found his crystal and that's what made him become the Juggernaut. And now I'm not sure that's exactly what happens. I'm a little out of the loop on The Juggernaut, but you know, you don't need all the answers answered for you in one issue. If you do, why buy two? So there's still some questions I need answered, and I'm going to stick with that book. Venom issue number 28. This is part three of Venom Beyond, brought to you again by Donny Cates. Artist is Juan Gedeon. This book continues to be really cool. It's in an alternate universe where Venom-type symbiotes are on everybody. Everybody's got a damn symbiote on them. And, you know, the good guys are the bad guys. The bad guys are the good guys. It's topsy-turvy. There's all kinds of damn chaos going on. But I'm really enjoying the book. And there's a lot of good shits going on there. So a lot of good shits. Then I think I started X-Men, X of Swords Creation, part 1 of 22. So this is a big crossover. Brought to you by, I don't even know who the hell brought it all to you. So it'll be John Hickman and Tiny Howard. Is it Tiny? Tiny? T-I-N-I? I'm guessing it's Tiny. Tiny Howard. How you doing? Artist is Pepe Larraz. There's a lot of international artists in comic books now. Because of, you know, you can email your art and all that type of shit. So a big influx of artists. Now this too, this book really dives back into the ancient history of the X-Men. Kind of coming off what I was talking about with the issue before. And man, the artist is fantastic. There's this real, because of Apocalypse was from Egypt. You know, I was a big fan of Egypt culture when I was a kid, like with the pyramids. And I used to know like all the Egyptian gods just as well as I knew the Greek gods. And there's some really cool mythology behind the Egyptian gods as well. And some of these characters are patterned after those. So I was that was a big, nice little Easter egg for me. So if that even made sense. But yeah, so comics are still great. I'm still loving them. Still reading the hell out of them as much as I can with the limited amount of time I have. And so, yeah, there we are. And so there it is. This is episode number 70 wrapping up. Like I said in the beginning of the show, if I can continue to do this, I will be more than happy to do so. If I can't, it is what it is. My apologies, but we'll see. So don't give up on me. Don't give up on the show, I should say. I know you won't give up on me. I love you guys. I love you. Don't forget, ProWrestlingTees.com/ShaneHelms. Pick yourself up a shirt, son. CollarandElbowBrand.com/ShaneHelms. Pick yourself up a shirt there as well. And here's the song of the week, brought to you by @GOIKicks. Follow them on Instagram. What they have been doing and what they have built from basically nothing to this cool little enterprise is just absolutely fascinating to me. So check them out. And they're going to hit you with the song of the week. And thank you all for traveling with me once again on the Highway to Helms.
Once upon a time there was a one-man gang who never ran from anyone or sold cocaine. OGs in the city y'all knew his name, so here's a little story about the gang that he claimed. The hottest nigga I know, he from Okie Dog Crib. When he get up out the pen, better hope he don't trip. Teriyaki or pastrami, he was always in some beef. A legend to this day, they talk about him in the streets. It's not a real hood, it's something that he made up to piss gangbangers off, cause he never gave a fuck. He wore white pro wings with pink and green strings and dare anybody on the shore to say a thing. Seen him knock a lot of dudes out with one swing. By his side, he always kept the baddest bitch you ever seen. Made his first million by the age of 17, running credit card scams, never touched a triple beam. He was the king, everybody tried to trip on him. They would get confused when he Okie Dog Crip on him. Most of the time, they would just start laughing, but they all got knocked out quick just for asking. Where you from, homie? Where you from? What? Where you from, homie? Where you from? What? Where you from, homie? Where you from? Okie Dog Crip, and y'all don't want none. Yeah. Where you from, homie? Where you from? Where you from, homie? Where you from? Where you from, homie? Where you from? Okie Dog Crib, and y'all don't want none. The hardest nigga I know, he from Okie Dog Crib. Once knocked a nigga out and he broke his own fist like this. In LA, you get hit up every day. The homie had to come up with something different to say. He like, no matter what I say, they gon' always wanna fight. I'd rather get into it over something that I like. And the one thing I love in this world above all is the teriyaki burger that they make at Okie Dog. All he needed was a cause that he could get behind. He was always down the squad cause he won every time. Ever since we was little, he could fight very well. Seen him whoop a grown man and we was only 12. Kept to himself unless they bothered him first. But like I was saying at the top of this verse, he busted up his hand on a bitch nigga's head, all because he walked up to my homeboy and said, where you from, homie? Where you from? What? Where you from, homie? Where you from? What? Where you from, homie? Where you from? Okie Dog Crib, and y'all don't want none. Yeah. Where you from, homie? Where you from? What? trigger in your hand. You gotta understand a lot of men use arms cause they ain't got hands. The shooter is respected much less than the gladiator. If you kill a nigga, then his homies gonna get at you later. You square up, win some, lose some. I'd even say the day like John Witherspoon, son. Homies almost out after 8 to 10 years, but I'ma say something that he might hate to hear. Look, now that I'm a grown man, 30-something years, and I'm out here trying to throw hands, it's green light for me to blast a motherfucker. So you better think twice before you ask a motherfucker.